Welcome to Syntax. On this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking about mixins and functions in CSS. That's right. There is a new proposal for mixins and functions to be coming to CSS, just like we did in many of the CSS preprocessors. That's going to lead to an explosion of new ideas in CSS. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver. With me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey. I am super stoked about this. It seems like CSS is working on a whole bunch of really interesting things. And this mixins and functions proposal was accepted, which means that it's now in the drafting stage to figure out what does it actually look like before it gets implemented in the browsers. But that means that we're going to get it. You know, I'm pretty excited about it. And we're going to talk today about what do they do? What are they useful for? What are the ideas behind it? And just kind of what to look forward to.
Yeah, totally. And one of the reasons why I'm confident that we're going to get it, right, is that Miriam Suzanne is behind this, who, you know, core contributor to SAS, but she's also the one who took the reins on container queries. And like that was something we felt like we were never going to get. And sure enough, with her push, those ended up arriving in the CSS platform, and man, we're using them today. And in addition to that, hey, stuff that we're using today, we're using Sentry. We're using Sentry on our site. In fact, CJ, just the other day, he posted this morning that he was getting a lot of alerts for some errors and used our Sentry to track down and that it was, hey, what? Guess what? A caching issue.
What was it?
It was a caching issue. So he was seeing some HTML that was trying to load some data that wasn't there. The data wasn't there because the old data was cached in our Redis. He dumped the cache, fixed the bugs. Well, at least fixed the errors from happening. Now we just need to take care of the situations in which those errors would not be happening. Because what? Guess what? If TypeScript thinks that that data is going to be there, but the data is cached as an old version that doesn't have that same correct data structure, TypeScript's not going to save you there. And so that was a neat little one that TypeScript wouldn't have caught.
Interesting.
But Sentry caught for us. And all we had to do was dump the Redis cache. So love it.
Yeah, maybe we need to like dump it on every deploy or make the cache deploy specific.
Yeah, or we could just have a button that you click whenever there's a problem.
That's
kind of the current
that's
way.
That's too late.
I'm joking. So if you want to get this kind of error handling in your site, head on over to sentry.io/syntax. Sign up and get 2 months for free. Yeah, Wes, I'm certainly not suggesting that we do it the way currently do it, which is not working clearly.
A physical button on the wall that we hit.
Yeah. Smash, dump that cache.
All right, well, let's talk about functions and mixins being added to CSS. So we've had CSS custom properties, CSS variables for quite a while now. And it feels like in the last couple of years, now that they're supported in every browser, now that everybody's starting to use them, we're seeing some really like dynamic stuff, being able to write less code, being able to write more flexible code. And they're awesome. However, there still is, like we did an entire show on like, is SAS dead? Can you dump SAS? And two of the, like pretty much every feature of SAS, we were saying, yeah. But the big one was the ability to have custom functions and custom mixins. And while you can do some of this stuff with variables and make your selectors a little bit more dynamic, there still are a lot of use cases where either the code you write is going to be funky or you're going to run into weird scoping issues or you're not able to loop into it. So functions and mixins being added to CSS is going to solve all those problems. And we're going to talk about sort of like why might you want to use this? What are the actual use cases for it?
And if you just go down the list of like SAS features that are in CSS, so just looking at the SAS features, variables, okay, we got it. Nesting,
yeah,
we got it. Partials, we still don't have. That would be neat to be able to import in a way that was not detrimental to performance, right? But you'd still obviously kind of need a compiler for that. There's no way around that. Modules, I guess that's the same thing. But we do have CSS modules in JavaScript. Mixins and functions, essentially. Now, functions are often used, or operators and loops are still also things. But, you know, mixins and functions are two types of things that I use frequently for both functions that I wrote, mixins that I wrote, but also ones that you imported from third parties or functions that you use that were baked into SAS that could now be baked into whatever CSS library you're using. Maybe there's like a default CSS functions library that you're using that includes things like lighten or saturate or those types of things that we got to use in SAS. And well, it'd be fun to have them, honestly. You know, a lot of these things can be accomplished different ways, you know, maybe with more code, maybe with, I don't know, actually using a CSS preprocessor or all kinds of, maybe even just JavaScript. And I know that's going to be some of the comments, because even when we did the HAS video, people are like, you can do this other ways. And sure enough, yeah, you can do these things many times other ways. But a lot of times this is saving us. It's saving us code. It's allowing us to write it in a more readable way, a more organized way, a more shareable way. And largely, it's just going to expand the ability for us to work within CSS as a platform.
Totally, totally. And like, yeah, like you shouldn't have to pre-generate every possible option that is out there. Even if we have the tools to figure out what are the possible selectors that we need to generate and how can we use them together, you shouldn't have to do that, as well as there's some benefits to be gained here. So let's talk about it. Functions and mixins, they are being grouped into the same proposal, and both of them are going to have names or identifiers, and both of them are going to have arguments or parameters. So you will be able to do things like fancy button and pass in what color you want it to be, what the radius you want it to be, and then you can get a bunch of CSS back. The difference between functions and mixins is that CSS functions are going to be used to calculate a single value, whereas mixins are being used to group together and apply a bunch of CSS to a specific selector. So again, a function can be used to, like in JavaScript or literally any programming language, a function can be used to tuck away complexity and make something a little bit more dynamic, whereas a mixin will also be able to do that, but it will return a bunch of CSS, media queries, container queries, internal logic that can then be directly applied with they're proposing an at apply, but again, all of the syntax is sort of up in the air right now and it's still being discussed. So maybe do get hung up on the syntax right now, because all too often we hear people start whining about syntax and why did they do it this way and this is not as good as I want it. Now's the time. If you really care about this type of stuff, if you care about how it's going to look, and hopefully some really smart people do, because these hard conversations need to be had now before the draft and the syntax is finalized.
Yeah, in that same regard, don't be rude about it. You know, understand what you're arguing for and why, and take some time to have a thoughtful reason why you might want something. Don't just say, hey, yeah, this syntax sucks, right?
I like it when like regular people get involved in the standards process, because often they'll ask questions like, why is it done this way? Like,
yeah.
I find myself doing that with a lot of the React Server Component stuff. It's like, I know there is probably some sort of complex reason behind all of this, but A, I don't care. And B, why can't it be as easy as this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all of the complexity and limitations and all of that aside, I just want it to work like this. And that's why it's important to sort of get involved, because maybe we've often seen that where like, okay, well, same with like the nesting we had like the weird, you have to do the ampersand, and like everybody's like, oh, I don't want the ampersand, like, you know, like just make it the other way. And then they're like, well, you can't really do that. You're going to break CSS. And then they're like, well, actually we found a way that we can make that work. So it's kind of important.
Yeah, totally. And if you're thinking about like, okay, so let's get into functions first, right? Let's deep dive into functions now that we kind of have a handle on these. I think if you think about it, you might be wondering about like, ah, is this too much for CSS? But we already have a number of functions in CSS already, and we're getting new functions all the time. This is going to essentially just allow you to define your own custom functions. Like, what kind of functions do we have? We have calc, min-max, we have
clamp,
color mix,
color mix didn't. No, color mix got nixed. Color contrast might get
color
nixed.
Contrast color is the new
contrast color. But that's the other thing, is that we do have these functions built in, and then sometimes you look at them and you go, like it seems like a lot of work to still do this. The mixing colors syntax, not very good, right? You have to do from the hex code, then you get the R, the G, the B, or the H, the S, and the L, and then you can recreate a color with it. What about darken, lighten, you know? How about that would be nice? And there's a line that needs to be drawn somewhere between like someone's going to give you lighten and darken functions. All right, they built it in. And someone will say, yeah, you know what? I don't like that algorithm for lighting and darkening because it doesn't look as good. I'd rather do it on this curve of lightening and darkening. So just or give even us functions. Like, we can make our own.
Yeah, or even like, hey, this function that is built in is perhaps too general. And I'm having to put in all these options, but maybe we want our functions to be more specific to the code that we're writing, the project we're writing. Like, I want this to lighten to the degree in which I want it to lighten every time. Or I want this to apply a transformation that's only applicable to my project itself rather than, you know, the global. And so what you have there is you have the ability to write your own essentially bespoke custom functions, or again, library authors, this is a huge opportunity to start thinking about, all right, like what kind of functions did we have in Stylus, or what were those like, what was the, I know Compass was the one for Sass, but what was the one for Stylus that was like the addition to Stylus that, do you remember?
No, I was extremely heavy Stylus user and I never used, it was all built in as far as I remember.
Yeah, there was an additional library to Stylus that I did probably do a video on at one point on Level Up Tutorials. And, but just like, what are these additional functions that exist out there? Or even like, I know like breakpoint stuff was like really good within function. So, what kind of things might you think about if you are a library author or just a developer who you might want to get into functions?
Mm-hmm. So some other use cases are like a theme function would be really cool if you want to be able to pull specific values from your user's theme, or if you want to do something conditionally based on a user's theme. Like you could have a light and dark theme, but then you could also have a dense mode or a like a not like that's one thing I wish Notion had is there's so much padding in Notion. It drives you crazy. It's like, I want to be able to make this window smaller and not give up half of it to padding. So I wish that there was like a dense mode, but I also want dark mode, you know, like to be able to mix those two together. And that's really hard because you have to use variables and then you have all these weird edge cases and things are scoped a little bit funny, and a theme function would be really nice. I can think of a syntax website right now is sometimes we don't want to get the inherited variable. We just want to simply grab the actual theme value there, and you could pass in arguments of which theme value you want. Imagine being able to say like theme background instead of --, I forget what it's called. Or dynamic values. In the syntax website right now, we have a background grit texture that's programmatically generated, and we have a light mode and dark mode version of that, right? And we have two variables, the light mode and the dark mode, and then we have another variable that's just grit texture, and the value of that changes depending on if you're in light or dark mode. So wouldn't it be cool if you just have a nice function called BG texture and it can return that value? Or complex calculations. Often when you're using clamp, min-max calculations, container query units based on the size of the container or based on the size of your media query, converting pixels to rems or ms to rems, all of that stuff is sometimes you're like, holy, this is very complex. Like any function, it's nice to tuck it away into its own function where you can simply just use it and pass in the one or two dynamic bits that you want.
Yeah, you could even do some like fun things, random values. Hey, I mean, there's some interesting things, or even like default padding, or, you know, just you could pass in something and it becomes context aware, right? Because again, you have these parameters. Utility functions, like we mentioned, you lighten, darken, you know, opacity, those types of things, where again, you're getting more control over how you would do that application, and you can write the underlying implementation of that to have it fit your needs. But also, like, hey, you could write your own contrast color function to have that available to you while we're waiting it for it in the browser, if it comes or doesn't come, right? I think what it does is it opens up a world for us in CSS here where we're not waiting for the browsers to implement all of these different functions, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm working on a website right now, and I have all of these different background colors. And for each of the background colors, I have an associated text color that looks good on top of that. And what I need to do is, section by section, I set the text color and the background color. And then I have buttons that are also that color, and they need to inherit. But if that button is a different one, then I need to set the scope of the the values on that button instead of the parent. Wouldn't it be nice to just say, especially when we get style queries being added to the language as well, wouldn't it be nice to say, if it's pink, then the text is going to be this specific white?
Yeah, right. Again, those are finely tuned to whatever you're working on, right? That's not something that would ever get added to CSS. You know, if text is pink, make white, you know?
So that is CSS functions, being able to take in some values, put some logic inside of that, and return a specific value. A mixin would do the same, but instead it will return a bunch of property values. So it could return, you could have at mixin cool button, and then it would return the border radius, the background color, some complex text shadow, a set of backgrounds. But it could also include container queries, support queries, media queries, all of that stuff inside of it. And very similar to what a class is like. You're probably saying, like, that's a class, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a class because it takes parameters. Like,
yes,
the way you'd have to do that with a class is that you'd have to have every class with a hyphen parameter that you could possibly think of. And largely, this is how Tailwind works, right? Like, you have the class hyphen and then some properties, right? And this is something you could do with mixins, because you wouldn't have to have all of those classes generated there. Now, I know Tailwind has like the just-in-time stuff, but like, you'd be able to have this without any of that extra stuff, because again, it's accepting some parameters and outputting a whole bunch of classes. To me, this is like the promised land for really concise CSS, really tuned CSS. You write your mixins, you write them so they're flexible for your needs, you drop them in. I can like think of just a ton of ways that, you know, I've written classes before, like grid classes or something like that. You could write a host of grid classes that could attach to different grid columns or rows without them having to, again, have all of those classes pre-written in your CSS.
Yeah, you don't have to generate them, and they can be runtime dynamic, meaning that, like, I think the Tailwind folks are really going to like this type of thing, because the killer feature in Tailwind is the arbitrary value syntax, where you put square brackets after it and then you pass whatever you want. Like, if Tailwind doesn't have what you want, then you can just say, all right, well, my background color isn't set, or I want it to be 24 pixels because of whatever reason. You can use the arbitrary value syntax. However, that is still dynamic. It's not generated at build time. So if there are any CSS variables that need to be used in there, or if there is any logic that needs to be set inside of that, it's not just explicit static arbitrary value.
Yeah.
It could be dynamic based on other variables that are on the page.
Default values, all kinds of
stuff. Oh yeah, default values is part of the spec as well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I do see, like, I see like the next generation, or even the next generation of Tailwind, like, using this stuff explicitly behind the scenes, because it does make so much sense to be able to apply all kinds of stuff with these defaults to just have it drop in your CSS.
Yeah. Like, if you think about the Tailwind colors, there's what, like 11 different colors and or 14 different colors and 11 different variations, like 240 whatever colors that are available. And then you want to be able to do different opacities for each of them. So /10, /15. So that's the millions of different combinations. And obviously those are generated on build time, and you only take what you need. But imagine, again, it could just be done in the browser without any sort of build tool.
Yeah, imagine this one. Remember one we used to use in, I remember using Stylus and Sass, was just to make a triangle and have it be like dynamic.
Oh, yeah, that was huge. Yes. Yeah,
just needing something like that. Because, again, you could have a class that's triangle that gives you a triangle, but you can't have one that makes it totally dynamic based on what you need out of it. So, you know, it's
yeah,
just
you could
stuff
do,
like that.
You could have a triangle mix in, or you pass in a color, and you can pass in where you want it to be, you know, top, right, bottom, left, and then it will generate all of the CSS that is needed for that. And it's extremely complex.
Yeah. Yeah. Super duper.
Fluid typography, that's another big one. I've been a huge fan of the container query units, and that is where you set a container on a element, and then you get these CQW, CQH, like you get width and height of your container query, and then you can use that to dynamically size things inside of it, like text. So fluid typography, it's still a bit of a pain. You still have to like test it and whatnot. And then also if you want it to be different at different breakpoints or different container query breakpoints, like if you wanted a medium and a large size container, then you're getting into a lot of CSS. Again, sticking that all into a mix-in would be really nice.
Yeah, totally. It's funny, Wes, I'm just like Googling around to try to find some of the old mix-ins that I used to use in Stylus, and my videos keep popping up from, you know, 2013. I clicked on one and it's like, oh man. Oh man, my old office, my old vibes. It's very weird to see that.
That's great. Let's talk about logic, because inside of both mixins and functions, we are going to need logic, right? And You can love it or not, but CSS is a programming language as far as I'm concerned. It's very declarative, meaning that there are no really if statements or looping. But we do, for this, we will need to add looping to the language, right? Because there is not really a great way. You can get around looping a lot of times with just dynamic variables, but there are lots of use cases where you simply, I just need a loop here. And if you either have to reach for something like SAS or a preprocessor, or you just rewrite a whole bunch of classes ahead of time. But we do have a lot of conditional logic already, right? Like we have media queries, we have CSS is, has, and where, which is a lot of kind of if statements, right?
Yeah, that's style interesting queries, to think about it that way.
Yeah. And like style queries is going to allow us to say, if it is red, then do this. You'll be able to query things based on their color or based on their size or based on their width. So you can say, if it has this specific style applied to it, then apply these following styles, which I think is pretty nifty. And then what else we have? Supports, container queries.
And style queries, I think, will blow this wide open, because style queries are really just like pretty explicitly conditional statements, right? You're saying, if this value is this, then therefore apply this CSS. Hey, that's an if statement. So for me, that is the one where, I would, that kind of blows this wide open to me.
It is, because I'm trying to think like what else? If we get mixins, we get functions, and we get style queries, which is already approved, it's being implemented. Yep. Like what else?
Style queries, you can even look at the value of a variable. It doesn't have to be even like a CSS property. You can look at the value of a variable, which can be set to anything. Like that really blows it wide open.
Yeah, because you could stick anything in a variable,
right? You can stick anything in a variable, especially with the new at property too. You could get really, really dialed in with the type of a variable. So
that's pretty cool. Like I'm trying to think like what else, like people have wanted to put multiple properties into a single variable, right? Like, so if you wanted to have dash dash button and you could put six or seven styles in that, but that's what mixins are, right? So like that's one thing that isn't needed.
Yeah. And hey, just an update on style queries. They have partial support in Chrome and Safari already. No support whatsoever in Firefox. So partial support in Chrome is that you can use style queries with CSS variables. I don't know what it is in Safari, but working with CSS custom properties. Okay, it looks like it's the same for Safari. So it also, I think, there's no movement on it in Firefox. Who knows where that's at? But that's a future I want to live in for sure.
Yeah, maybe like objects. Like what if you had like a variable for a theme? So dash dash theme, and the spec intentionally allows anything to go inside of a CSS variable. So it's not crazy for us to be able to do that. Like maybe you could have a dash dash theme, and inside of that have sub variables, you know, background, foreground, border.
Oh my gosh.
Red, green, blue.
Imagine this world. I'm I mean, you can have multiple parameters in mixins and stuff too. So, man, it's it's very, very exciting here. And if you want to follow along, we'll have all the links for you in the show notes here. Again, contribute again, but be kind and considerate when you're contributing and make sure that you're being helpful and productive. But I think they want to know how people are thinking about this and how it might affect what they're writing in CSS. Don't just pop in and then be like, can't this just be a class? Don't do that. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Peace.